stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. Fetch back. Away back. Yeah. She is gone.
All right, whatever. Nuts. This thing's on. We're here.
That
welcome,
sucked.
Welcome to a second episode of 161st Street. And we come to you with great happiness in our hearts, but we did kind of just watch a brutal, brutal injury to Gio Urshela. Hopefully it's not an injury. But we're recording during this game just because of time constraints. But Gio fouled one off his knee, gets up, gets back in the box, and then fouls one off his opposite shin. So he just took a beating, and that's the last thing we need. But we got a lot of great things to talk about in this episode. We're real excited. We're coming off of three great games, and we realized that last time, you know, that was our first episode, and Gio's a warrior, by the way. That was our first episode, so obviously we were a little we were shaky. We were really excited, and maybe we had one too many beers at the stadium coming off of Friday night. But this episode is going to be a little different. I fell asleep actually right after. Like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. We recorded, and I was hanging off the chair by the end. And we finished, and I got up, hit the couch harder than Aaron Judge hits a baseball. And then I was out. And then great job to my two co-hosts here. You got the same three, me, Rella, and Sir Damon. And, so this episode's a little different. They finished it without me, but we're going to be all business here. So with that being said, let's take a shot and get this one on the road, brothers.
To the pod.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Let's get into it.
So a few things. We came into this series and we said, one, we did nothing at the deadline, and we need to make sure that we make a statement that we didn't need to do anything at the deadline. Check. We said we have the potential to ruin the Red Sox season, so let's do that. Check. Our pitching rotation was in shambles. Kind of figured it out. Check. And the one thing that we cannot check is that the good old injury bug has reared its ugly head again. But we're going to dive into all of it. So let's just get started with game two. So we went to the doubleheader.
Yeah, first game went to.
First game we went to, the day game.
Yeah, I mean, we went to all the games. And overall, good vibes the entire game. Two big wins. Would have, like we said in the last episode, we could have asked for 3 out of 4. Where we're recording right now, we're currently taking the third, taking a beating to Urshela, but... I mean, that's what we came out and we set out we wanted. Like, that's what we mentioned would end the Red Sox playoff hopes. And I do think that is still the case. And
yeah.
You could see it in their fan base. In, honestly, these players, they look just beat.
Yeah, even tonight's game when they were just interviewing Cora, mm-hmm. He was like...
He's a sad sack.
Yeah.
He just hates it.
So what are you guys doing? He was like, oh, you know, we're going to go back to the Fenway and we're going to, like... Guess we're going to try and play harder. I don't really know what we're going to do. And the announcers were saying, A-Rod, Mendoza, what the fuck has got that guy's name is? You know, what's his fucking
Scurgeon?
Name? Scurgeon.
My guy.
They were like, I guess the hangover is real.
Seems like it.
Yeah,
for them at least. I mean, he said it's a real thing, but...
I hope so.
There's some stats that I saw that they were mentioning that the Red Sox haven't spent a single day since the year started in first place this year. Not one day. And this is the first time since 1989 that a team that won the World Series hasn't been in first at a single point in an entire year. And that's going to stand tall because they're not winning this year. They will be the first team since 1989 that has won a World Series to not spend a single day in first place.
That's beautiful. That's music to my ears.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for than those sacks? Just not even getting the... You know, we love to post the standings on our story.
Yeah.
Like, they can't do that once without somebody above them.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, game one of the doubleheader, we go. We're in the beautiful standing room in center field. It's hot. And Damon comes clutch. Honestly, I think we credit that win. First win of this series, we credit to Damon's lucky coin.
Yeah.
And this second game was Damon's spray fan. Lucky I mean, fan. What a weapon.
Yeah, so I was at the concession stand buying some Bud Lights, and I saw this this fan, and I asked the concession lady, is this for sale? She was like, yeah. And I was like, how much is it? She was like, I really don't know. Like, I can't, it was like,
she's like, that's a common thing she was that like, people are gonna buy that day.
Like, it wasn't, it looked like it wasn't even brand new. Like, the box was ripped. Like, it was just like a used fan or something. And I was like, can I have it? And she was like, yeah, like,
used by
she
God.
Was like, $7. I was like, fuck it, sure. It's like 105 degrees.
What am I gonna say no?
What am I gonna say no? And it was just the luckiest thing ever. Yeah. I don't know.
Every time we would get a hit, spraying it all over the people around us. They were loving it.
We had some people from like the South with some thick accents. Yeah. And they were like, oh, New York is here. Like, this is what New York's like.
They loved it.
They were like, then like when like the energy was going down a little bit, they were like, missed, spritz me. So I was running around the center field deck just spraying everybody with water.
Up and down, just giving everybody water.
I mean, it
water,
cost
like
a fortune
boy.
Because I had to keep refilling the water
I mean,
every
that's
five
how
minutes.
They get you, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's how they get you. They give you a $7 spritzer, but then they charge you $17 for each water.
It's like
refill.
How when you like you buy printers nowadays, it's like a nickel for the printer and then $1 million for the ink.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same thing. Same
it's a world of marketing.
But yeah, so I guess I'm just the lucky guy. We also had Fuller's hat, which is actually my hat, but that he wore for every single game.
Which
can't
us,
take it off.
Which brings us to our sponsor today, right?
Yeah, we are currently sponsored by Montauk Brewing Company.
Or we would like to be.
Or we'd like to be. So
we're just going to make it seem like we are.
Yeah, so New York, we're the New York hat because New York Montauk Brewing Company. So shout out to Montauk.
Shout out to them to helping us out.
Yeah.
There you
by
go.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, by doing nothing. So,
but, like, we could pretend that they do.
Yeah.
So we will.
Yeah.
So in that first game, we poured it on. And I think the fourth inning, it started with DJ's second home run. That was beautiful.
Oh, God.
A three-run shot.
Yeah, he put his kids on that ball.
He did. He put his kids on that ball. He just took that ball down the dick. And actually just nutted all over it. Nutted it to right field.
It's so funny because, like, we talk about this game all the time, and, like, it started off as a joke, but now it's become real. It was 4-1 or 4-2, and, like, DJ was up with runners at second and third.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. It's 6-2 now.
Yeah.
Like, no
it's
matter
a guarantee.
What.
It's literally
and
a guarantee now.
What happens? He gets a home run, so I was wrong. But, like,
I mean, we were expecting even at the very least, he gets a single there.
Yeah.
And that scores, what, two? What was
he
it,
just,
second and
he
third?
He just loves putting the
That's why
the
we put up.
Ball.
That's why we said he's the RISP king. We call it RISP here at 161st.
Quick maths. Quick tricks.
Yeah. So he is 100% without a doubt the RISP king, and that goes for the entire league. Like he put the whole league on notice.
Yeah, and he is without a doubt our MVP, and everyone needs to bend the knee.
Yeah.
Bend the knee to DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
Bend the knee.
Well, we'll show you how.
T-shirts coming out soon. By the time you hear this, it'll already be the T-shirts coming out. It's pretty sick, but
just wait.
You'll see.
So first game, Paxton makes a huge statement with his pitching performance, and then Domingo just does more of the same. Takes us through seven in that game, which was beautiful. Seven innings, two earned. Great. Great job. I loved every second of it.
Fired me up. When he struck out the end of the inning and he was pumped.
Oh, and he was pumped.
His glove.
Yeah.
Oof. Chills. Yeah. Chills.
Like, we have some characters on this team. We just have. They're just full of drip. They are just. They love it.
Yeah.
And everybody loves them. I mean, we were like little kids in center field just watching Aaron Judge. Like, he's a specimen, and he is just so cool.
Yeah,
like,
even,
the things I do.
Said, we even said that one time where he handed the ball to the kid. Like, if he did that to me,
I'd be giddy.
Borderline the same age as him. We're not. He's, like, a couple of years older than us. But if Glaber gave me a ball, same situation. He's the same age as me. And if he gave me a ball, I would actually.
I'd be giddy.
He's just I'd be
so
like
cool.
A little kid.
Yeah. No, it's
he's
crazy.
The coolest
he's so
man
cool.
In the world.
They're so cool.
They're so all cool. I don't
we shouldn't idolize people our age, but like we do. And you know,
fully
we're just going to run with it.
Yeah.
We own it.
I don't give a shit.
So we win cool. We all win right. That game, and we're like, okay, so at the very least, we didn't lose this series. So it already does more harm for Boston than it could do to us. Like, we're golden when we win that game. We come back for the second game, and we have unreal seats. Well, they have unreal seats, and I maneuver my way down there.
Yeah, we bought, Morell and I bought tickets for the game that got rained out that was postponed for yesterday.
Oh, yeah, was that in March?
Yeah, it was like March something.
Early season.
We bought tickets for like $60 and... Because it was like some random like Thursday or something, and we bought the tickets.
There was a tsunami coming.
Yeah, and like I was getting on the train. I got a notification. Yeah.
The train was approaching. The train was approaching, and then Damon texts me because he lives in the town over from me. This is before we moved into the city. He texts me or calls me, and it's literally as the train is approaching, and then he tells me like, "Yeah, the train game just got canceled." Like, oh well, good thing I didn't get on that train right there. So
fast forward to yesterday, and we went to the first game. And we were like, "Fuck, let's go to the second game." At this time, I was trying to sell my tickets for some weird reason. I don't even know why. Because, like, I guess the value of the ticket, like, tripled. Like,
It was worth
$200. I was like, fuck it. Like,
profit $140 apiece.
Yeah. But we decided to go anyway. And we got these in real seats. It was three rows back from the outfield.
And then Fuller got kicked out. He just sat next to us and he got kicked out.
Yeah. Me and Morell were just, I was sitting there and it was going on for a while. I think we got into, like, the fourth. And we were like, all right, things are looking good here. These people still aren't here. Like, what, are they going to show up in the fifth?
They didn't deserve to be on
Sure enough, they did show up in the fifth. Like, screw you.
And he was huge.
Yeah, he was a big guy. Yeah. Wasn't he? I mean, I stood up. I laughed it off. I said, I tried it, man. And he was like, yeah.
He kind of came at you,
okay,
too.
Okay, see ya.
Immediately out of the gate said, you guys are in our seats.
Yeah, you're in my seat.
I'm not. He is.
It was, he didn't do one of those things like you usually do. It's like, I think you're in our seat.
He was just like, get up.
Flopped it.
Yeah. Because he was probably there in the first and immediately left to get popcorn for four innings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where he just popped his own popcorn.
Let's get back on track here. So I think the big thing with this series to start, or where we're at right now, J-Hav started doing well to this point and then he kind of tailed off where we're at right now. But I think the big theme here is the pitching resurgence.
Yes.
I think we needed that. We talked about how much we needed it. We needed somebody at the deadline. And I think it's a big chip on their shoulder where they're coming in and they're like, we didn't, like, that's a lot of trust in Cashman saying, like, this is your team. We stuck with you guys because we knew you, maybe there wasn't a deal on the table. That's other reasons. But part of it had to be that we know that you guys can play. You guys can play baseball. You guys are better than what your last, because like we said before, it's bad timing with the trade deadline. So they want to prove that, like, we're not what we were the last, like, everyone was in slumps. We're not that. That's not, like, a indication of our entire year, our entire player caliber.
When they come out like that, and it's like, regardless if it was our intent to make a move and we didn't, or if we always had the intentions of keeping the staff, like, what we got is what we have, and for them to show up after that and be like, this is all you need, and all three of them, like, even Chad Green started that game last night, made a statement, Jay Happ came out strong in the beginning today, like, that's just, we needed to see that as a fan base, and they needed to see that in the clubhouse that, yeah, we're good. We're good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, with the Cashman move, I think that gives them a lot of confidence and it puts that chip on their shoulder that they want to make that. And especially against a team that just kicked your ass. Like, we just lost 3 out of 4 to them.
Yeah.
And we could have stepped on their throats and just killed them and ruined their playoff career, their playoff hopes this year back then. And we did that now, which now we know that happened. But I think that extra little bit of motivation from doing what the Sox did to us right now, and also the fact of we are the pitchers, like we are what this team is going to have. We are good enough to win a World Series, and I think that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But then that kind of brings up to the last couple days when we've been dropping like flies,
yeah.
And now we look like the team we were in May.
But that's the thing, though. Next man up. Like
exactly.
In May, I keep a track of the score. Of this the schedule, and I do it at my office because I'm bored as shit, and I just highlight the wins and losses like I'm a little kid, and because that's all I do, that and count down the minutes of the clock until it's 6 o'clock. But that's besides the point. So I go
good,
in.
Good thing you quit, or else they would do it here.
Yeah, still 2 more weeks of that. Though. Yeah.
Don't promote this at work.
Whatever. Hopefully, no one in my job's listening. They probably aren't. They hate everything. But so
they hate fun.
And so I go in. And I look, I'm ranting about nothing right now, but and basically what I'm saying is that our record in May, during that Little League team, we had our best record. We won like 20, we were like 20-4, I think we were. It's something crazy like that. And that's the exact team that's out there right now to a degree. But not even to a degree. They're out there. Mike Ford's out there today.
They're back.
And Clint's down, which is something
Why
we're going to get
Ford
into.
Here?
Why is Mike? I mean, he got a hit today, but that's I mean, Clint. All right, well, we're not going to talk about that. I mean, why is Valera? We were made a joke about that with the question mark and the exclamation point. But like Valera, he's not the pride and joy of the Yankees. No. He's some random guy who got a hit by some.
Was an RBI. So I'll give him that. Care.
But why isn't Clint up? Yeah. Let's get into that.
I mean, you see, Stanton's been down, and then yesterday Edwin goes down, and
Hicks
goes down, which hopefully it's not that serious.
And then Boone said today, he was asked, why isn't Clint Frazier up here? He goes, oh, well, right now I don't think we have the need for another outfielder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, I think we're good on the whole outfield thing.
Because you know the opportunities for him to come in? Let's name them. All right, so he has outfield. He has outfield opportunities with Stanton. He has outfield opportunities with
Hicks.
Hicks going out. And then there's also the DH thing, which is what he actually should be. Like, I get the outfield thing. I get he's a liability as of late in the field, which I don't think he's that as big of a liability as everyone thinks he is because of recent. It's like the trade deadline thing. Everyone caught him at a bad time. He was on the spotlight. But I think the perfect thing for him at this point, if his defense is lacking, especially we're not going to put him out in the field in the playoffs. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I think putting him in a DH spot is perfect. And if Edwin's going down and if Voit's going down, that opens up the floodgates for him to easily come up. And then why is Mike Ford coming out there? Like, why? And, I mean, maybe Gio's coming down now, too. So maybe that's an opportunity for him to come up. Maybe. And if it's not, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
what could you even say?
It's so weird because like Mike Ford hits like over 400 in the minors, and then can't get above a two.
He hates the spotlight
in the majors. It's like he's too good for one, not good enough for
the
other.
He's Babe Ruth of the minors.
It's like not. It's a small sample size.
Actually,
yeah.
No, fuck
you mean
that.
A myth?
Babe Ruth is not actually good, and that's you'll learn that on this podcast. We truly believe. Babe Ruth is not.
Fuller thinks he can strike
him out. Don't get me started because I can strike him out. I was never that good, and I'll be the first to tell all of you guys that I was not that good at baseball. It's my claim to fame is my 80 mile per hour fastball and my decent curveball, but I could strike Babe Ruth out. Right, he drank more than I do in my life before. Right,
We'll make a Kevin Fuller player in the show, and we'll put him up against the pitching version of Babe Ruth.
Deal.
Why don't we just put the link to your hoop mixtape baseball version in the bio?
We'll put it up for discussion.
The huddle page.
I don't want to put that many home runs on a huddle. But anyway, so like not even to mention just the guys that are down now. Like DJ got hurt really quick, and like DJ plays everywhere. But like I don't care who it is that goes down. If it's not a pitcher, if it's Brett Gardner who got hurt last week, Gary Sanchez, like somebody like. I mean, where is Clint?
Honestly, at this point, even if it's a goddamn pitcher, I say that next move coinciding with that, I think, like, let's say Luis Sessa gets hurt. Mm-hmm. I want Clint to be that move. Yeah. That's me.
Like, why not?
Even though it doesn't, I mean, actually, they do make moves like that. They called up, like, Tarpley when somebody else got hurt.
When Hap went on paternity leave, I was like, let's go.
Paternity leave.
Give me Doc Red. But he just doesn't come back.
Yeah.
And, like, when we didn't trade him, I was like, okay, so now he's here. He's staying.
What are we waiting for?
Give me him.
I mean, I was saying to Damon on the subway ride, I was like, dude, that with him, there are players that give me that DJ LeMahieu feeling, maybe not to that extent, but they give me that confidence at the plate. Like, I think he will get a hit. I think we're good at this point, you know? And then with other players, like Clint, I'm saying Clint is one of those players. Like, with him at his bat is there. It's proven. Mm-hmm. It's a big league bat.
Yeah,
but there's other players that are on this team that I know Higashioka is up right now when we're watching this game.
Yeah,
he is not going to get a hit. Maybe he will. He has had a couple today, but I don't have that confidence feeling.
We need two catchers, so I get Higgy and Roman are obviously both going to be up. And I mean, we'll say what we want about Clint, and like I don't know because it's obviously it has to be the locker room stuff at this point. I have no other possible solutions for why he's down.
I don't trust anything that Boone says ever since the Stan thing when he was like everyone asked him about like what's the status of Stan?
He's really turned a page.
Yeah, he said
I don't know.
He was like, I don't know.
I feel like you should know as a manager. Yeah, and then the very next week he was up, right?
Yeah, he was like, it's like a little.
And I think that's happening again right now. Yeah. Like, he didn't do baseball activities for the longest time, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he's back August
15th at
least. He's like, yeah, his arm's just like nowhere near 100% or something stupid like that.
Except he comes back the next game.
Yeah,
he was setback turn
so
page.
I personally think it's just like their relationship, the bridge has been burned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to like gather the ashes and like.
I feel like my theory here is that they're like almost putting him in timeout. Like they're proving a point to him. Like, you can't do this to the Yankees. And it's less about his game. Like, he should have been called up. That's my theory, because everything else doesn't make sense to me.
No. I don't know how we, like, Talkman's hot right now, but I don't know how you see Clint
Stretch.
But you
couldn't
Stretch.
Have pictured that.
Yeah, I don't know how you see Clint Splints.
That has nothing
Splints,
to do with
and then
him
Talkman's.
Over Clint.
Yeah, and then you're
that
like,
he just happened to be really good since he's been called up, because he got the opportunity. But
just,
that is not anything a part of
that
the decision
like,
that was made. Like, that's why, and all you see it in Clint's tweets, and he's being really, really immature about it, too, which
petty.
It doesn't help. He's very petty about it.
Sorry.
But they're literally putting him in timeout.
But, I mean, that's just Boone. Boone just struck gold with Talkman doing that well, because you couldn't, and Maybin, like, you can't predict these things, but they're doing well enough for him to have an argument on why Clint is going to stay down. Like, the fans don't want it, because Clint's a fan favorite, but it's all right. But regardless, we have these injuries. But what we have to say and acknowledge is that with the reinforcements on their way back soon enough, we couldn't be going through.
Name them.
I mean, we got.
Let's see the timeline again. It's always good to tell.
Yeah, we got Stanton around mid August. They said
Gary's looking great.
Gary should be here this week.
I saw him running, just chugging by with that beer belly running around.
Gary, he said he's coming back for Toronto.
Yeah.
Even though he had no idea we were playing Toronto.
Also, let's get into that, because this is, like we said with the injury bug, I mean, Yankee fans should be a lot less worried than you think right now. Even with that Gio, we don't know what the updates on Gio, but at this point, but it doesn't look great, and I'm sure he's fine. All right, whatever.
Yeah, no, he's
good. Regardless, with all the injuries, I'm saying Yankee fans should be very happy with the schedule makers, because it did not come at a better time.
Yeah.
Because there are 12, the next 12 games after tonight are against, what is it? It's three against the Orioles, or four against the Orioles.
Three against the Orioles,
four against the Toronto Blue Jays, and then
four more
against the Orioles.
Yeah.
So there's 12 games in a row where we're playing minor league teams, and I couldn't think of a better time for us to get the reinforcements back and slowly trickle them in, because that's almost, I mean, that's a rehab stint.
If you're the Rays.
So you almost want to like not even send them on a AAA rehab stint. You kind of want to just like, all right, you're doing a rehab stint anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well come up to the majors, because you're playing against AAA players.
Yeah.
So that's a really relieving
For sure.
Thing for me.
But then when we get back on August 16th is when we start playing real MLB teams.
Oh, that's a serious
and
stretch.
Let me just read out what that schedule looks like. So August 16th is when it starts. It's Cleveland. It's a three-game set against Cleveland. And then we play Oakland for three games, and then we play the best team in the major leagues right now, the Dodgers, for another three games.
That's a judgment call. I think it's us when we're healthy, but whatever.
They have a better record.
So we'll call them that.
That's going to be interesting.
The quote-unquote best team in the major leagues. Yeah, I'm
excited
to see.
And then we got the Mariners.
I really hope they suck, but I really hope that we have a full team to play the Dodgers, because that could be a World Series preview.
Yeah,
I would love
to
have.
Sick.
I would love to have a healthy team for that.
I think the MLB has just been waiting for Yankees Dodgers World Series for so long now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these last few years when we're both good. Like, that's the MLB is like, come on, give it to us, and this is the year.
That was the most probable World Series matchup last year.
Yeah.
That was what everyone predicted.
They're two of the biggest markets, too. So, like,
that'd be
unbelievable for ratings. If you were to rig a World Series, this would be the year.
Yeah, that's why the MLB is just preying on it. Yeah.
They're preying on it. And that actually takes me to another point, which we need to lock up home field advantage. If we don't lock up, because I have a few stats for you guys.
Good point.
And if we don't lock up home field advantage, we won't get to the Dodgers if we don't lock up home field advantage. And that's a fact, because, one, we don't know who's going to be playing on this team because of the injuries. Two, the stats are alarming. Us at home, we are 42-18 at home. And away, we are 29-21 this season. That's disgusting, because we are really good at home, obviously. We see it when we go to the games.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to credit myself for that, and all of us for
and
being
my lucky superstitious items
for being the 10th man out there, and the
Damon's knickknacks,
all of the knickknacks.
I got a whole list.
Another alarming thing is, late. At this point, as we have now put to rest the Red Sox, I'd say. I think that's a consensus.
We've put away their division hopes.
They might still make it. There are 6 games out, though, of the wild card, which is a lot.
If we talk any wild card team, like, let's be real, they're the best.
Yes, they are. But so looking ahead
in a one game.
I think it's a fair time to start looking into the potential playoff teams that we should be matching up against. And that's not ahead of ourselves. Like we are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who I don't know anything who we're going to be playing, whatever. But the Houston Astros on the flip of the coin are 41-15, just like we are, a little bit better at home. But they are 32-25 away. Mm. And we statistically, over the course of the last couple of years, have not done very well at Minute Maid. We get rocked at Houston's home stadium.
Yeah, it's
so
weird.
That's really scary if we have to go to them in the ALCS. In 2017, we lost to them. We got kind of daddied by them, to be honest.
Well, no, we lost in 7, but we also had a...
Yeah, but
they needed to win the last two.
It didn't look like that. Yeah, exactly.
We were up 4-2. We were
down and out, and then we came back a little bit. But that means we need to lock up home field advantage, and that matters more than anything now. And that's why this stretch of the soft spot in the schedule with these guys matters so much, because we need these Ws, and we need to go through this hard stretch and get these Ws. And we need to finish top in the league.
Yeah,
and it's tough when you have the Astros and they just got a Grinky. But you know, I mean, when you're at home, I like our odds when we're at home. I love it.
I don't want to frighten anybody right now, but. As the listeners right now,
please don't say anything about him.
We are watching the game, and Torres just left the game. Something with his groin, I think.
This is getting out of hand.
Yeah,
yeah. This is. I mean, that goes into my next point.
Like, I'm gonna send a message to the Yankees and just like send DJ and Aaron Judge out to the field in full armor. Like, they need to wear Kevlars.
Well, that literally takes us over. We were talking about this during the game, and we were saying how we're literally living in fear when we're watching the games. Like, me and Fuller were watching the game. Damon was in his own world on the side. Mm-hmm. But we were saying that Judge got walked, and he was jogging down the baseline. And I was looking at him, and I was seeing he was chewing gum, but I was looking to see if he was wincing, because I was like, oh, like, is he hurt here again? Mm-hmm. And I told Fuller that, and he was like, yeah, I was literally thinking the same thing, and I was watching to see if any bit of injury or hurt or anything. We're literally living in a world where we're in PTSD at this point, and this is nothing different, because now we got Gio, and we don't know about Torres, but he just left the game, so.
It's just stupid.
You guys will know more than us, because you're listening after this game's over, but.
It's not fair. It's just so stupid. Mm-hmm. Like,
No other teams are doing this. I literally said this to you, too. Have the Dodgers gotten hurt this year?
No. And, like, the Astros saw it for a little bit this year. Like, Springer, Altuve was out. Correa and Altuve all got hurt at the same time.
How long Judge has been out,
yeah,
too.
Like, no, and they were like, just wow. Altuve. They were like, wow, oh my God. Like, we're playing with a double-A team. Like, shut up. We have won a season. We're winning a season with the Rail Riders right now. Like,
yeah,
it's not fair, and I hate it.
The majority of this, the majority of two months of this entire season were almost like the highest percentage of players were the Rail Riders.
Mm-hmm.
2 months of the season, and they've been arguably the hottest months too.
We've played with
Rail Riders, and that. We'll make this. If we win the World Series this year, God willing.
Oh, that would be great.
It would make it that much more.
We're not underdogs.
If we win this World Series more than any World Series, I will say, in my own personal opinion, this World Series might mean more than any of the other 27 because of what we've dealt with this year.
Yes.
And I can't say that with certainty because I wasn't alive during those times.
Yeah.
But this would be a very sweet one.
I mean, it's comparing this to 2009.
Yeah. It would be the most. It would in our lifetime be the most significant because this is the one we've been the most involved in.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we started a podcast when this one was around. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But, like, when you think about it, and like, this was the one year that if we have everybody, we were sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we came in with such confidence.
Yeah.
And our pitching has not been what we assumed it would be. And our pitching hasn't really been hurt besides, I mean, our two of our best pitchers, which are still a really big deal. But the guys that we've had out there, like, Paxton got hurt for a little bit. CeCe hates his knee. But that's a different topic.
He's also 40,
yeah, but CeCe loves just being in the dugout.
He needs
And you know what,
he needs those days. They're scheduled.
I am excited CeCe is like him in the playoffs. I have that feeling of faith I'm talking about. Like him, if it's for two innings, I want him out of the pen at least. But if you pull him out of the pen for two innings, I think he can turn that notch. Like, you know what I mean?
All signs point to you're right, and you are right, and I believe you, and I agree, but I don't agree because I just don't. I don't want him pitching anymore. Like, I don't have that confidence with him. I love CeCe.
He's the homie.
I love everything he's done.
He's the homie.
Oh, my God. I want him to be like our manager next year.
He started his own podcast, too. It's called R2C2.
Yeah. Yeah. I want him to be our manager next year. I love the guy, but, like, I just don't want to see him in a uniform in the postseason, even though that's where he's the best. And, like, I think he's a Hall of Famer, all that jazz. But, like, just please, I just don't, I don't want the stress. It's just so much stress with him that I don't want.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, yeah.
What? Like, what do you mean?
Because just
like all this Chapman stress, like I'm sweating just as much as he is. Like,
no, that's like on the verge of signing up to go to a shrink.
Because that's so deceiving.
But
too.
But CeCe, I just don't have faith anymore.
I mean, we were talking about this too. Let's get into the relievers a little bit because they are supposed to be the best in the league, and they are, and they're really good. And Canley just won reliever of the year, which is sick.
Month.
That's what I meant. Sorry, but there's two of the back end guys, Britton and Chapman, and their numbers we were talking about at the game are seem to be pretty deceiving because, I mean, Chapman has what 2.54 I think it is, and then Britton has around the same.
Yeah.
And the numbers, this gets into a big topic of ours about the numbers not really looking the same because we watch every fucking game, and the numbers do not really
numbers for relievers.
It's just, for relievers as well as something else we get into with my phenomenon about Judge.
Yeah,
but,
Judge one. Yeah,
but the numbers with them, I mean, they're very deceiving because Britton, I actually got an update today that said he hasn't allowed a run since like April something, like some, I don't know the date.
What? No.
He hasn't allowed to other teams other than like a Tuesday. It was a weird sabermetrically one of those, like a very specific.
Yeah,
like
on a Tuesday
like,
when it's 86
when the grass is cut only like 3/4 of the way and the sun is in the, like the northernmost part of the sky. I don't know, anything like that. But
and
the numbers, all I'm saying is the numbers are deceiving. They're a lot harder outs than they are. The runs might not score, and then the ERA might not count that, but the sweat is there.
Yeah, and you know why? That comes from how much we watch. Because like when you watch, we nitpick every single thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody that's listening to this probably watches close to as much as us because we're Yankees fans enough to listen to a podcast about them, so we obviously really care. But there are those different fans that are just like so reliant on numbers, and then there's the people who watch every day that are like, I see it. I know what's going on. And, like, we see Britton get out there every day, and I swear there's two runners on base every time he's in. And I swear Chapman gives up 7 runs and somehow gets a save with a 2.0 ERA every time.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. And just like Rella said, so Rella's Judge phenomenon.
Oh, let me tell you about the Judge phenomenon. I mean, I don't know if it's just me. I've been telling Damon and Fuller and everybody for the last, like, couple months. I continuously see Judge's batting average climb. Like it, I think it went up again today. Today he had a good game, but
it's like 286 now or something.
It's like
right
286.
Now.
It was 284 in the middle of this game, and then he got a home run after that. And then
he's 2 for 2.
Regardless, he continues to get hits. His batting average is climbing, but every time I look, I feel like he's not getting a hit. I feel like he's always striking out, and I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But his batting average is not going down. It's going up. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's just, and I watch every game. I don't know if I'm dozing off during that time, but his numbers just seem like they should be. Yeah. My batting average in my mind for him should be about like 225.
But now,
and that might alarm some Yankee fans and make me look like an asshole, but that's just my opinion.
And now it's become such a trend where even if we're at a game, you just can't look at the game if he's up.
Me and Damon were alone in the apartment the other day, and I literally said, we're watching the game together, and I was testing this phenomenon, and I went into the corner, I went into the room, did not watch the game, I said, tell me when he's not up anymore, and what did he do after he got that? He got a hit.
He got single to the right side of the field.
Classic.
Classic.
Oh, speaking of his right side of the field shit, there is a statistic about him. Judge has 12 home runs this year, and he has all 12 of them to opposite field. He has 0 that he pulled.
Yeah.
He hasn't pulled a single one.
Couple center, yeah.
And he's the only player in the majors to have more than 10 home runs this year, and none of them are pulled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so funny because Didi has all of his home runs in his career,
ever.
And none of them are.
Ever.
Yeah.
But that takes you to your point about what do you think his approach has changed.
He does this on purpose. And I'll say this till the day I die. Like, Judge came here his rookie season. He's like, well, I'm 6'7", and I'm 280 pounds, and I'm strong as fuck. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to swing really hard, and in this little ballpark, the ball's going to fly. And he did that, and he was pulling 495-foot home runs, but then he was also striking out so much because he was going up there with that Goliath approach. And then you see, as his career's just progressed, he's just been like, get out ball, get out ball, get out ball. Wow, oh, that was a snag. Goodness. But, sorry. But as
Mookie just made that
as Judge's career has progressed, he's just been right side, right side, yeah. right side. And he knows. Just he's muscling like, it. Just I'm muscling so big it. That a pop-up in Yankee Stadium yeah. is going to be a right field home run. So he's adjusted himself to yeah. hit over there. So he's hitting to that right side.
Yeah.
And he's using the field. And he knows that he's doing that. And that's what I love and respect about him as a hitter.
Yeah.
Like, I can't praise him enough for that. That's impressive.
He takes advantage of the opportunities given yeah. to him. But then yeah. he can also turn a ball and yeah. put it 585 yeah. feet into left center. Mm-hmm. You know,
whenever he wants.
Whenever he wants.
He just yeah. chooses not to because he realizes that more likely than
which is
not.
Like which is a lot to ask for a young player like that. Like to
he's up right now.
Yeah.
He's
to
up.
Have like I would love a the maturity right to yeah. like just be able to realize that so young. Yeah. And just be like, all right, I'm gonna play my game. I'm gonna fucking poke it over to right field.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we were saying before about Judge, like string theory here, or last year's Judge for this year's Judge. What are you taking? I'm taking the guy. I'm not as worried. Like everyone says, like, oh, he needs. We said today he needed a home run, which yeah. he kind of did for his own confidence because he's known as a power hitter.
Yeah,
he's
we just as, like saying that
he's known as a power hitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that goes into our other point about like being mad at people for doing their job.
Yeah,
like, if somebody yelled at me at my cubicle for like yo,
yeah,
this
oh, yeah.
expense report wasn't in time. Like I hate you. Like that's us reacting to baseball
yeah,
players.
Yeah, because we were talking about this earlier, then we just didn't finish the thought. But, like, when we were in left field on Saturday, we were trying to get Talkman's attention. And we kept not yelling at him. We were like, hey, like,
I was just trying to get Talk to Talk.
Talkman the Talkman. Come talk to us, Talkman. And, like, trying to get attention, and then we were, like, so upset he was not acknowledging us. And then we realized that, like, he's at work.
He should be focused. He's working. He's working. I thought we had a better chance of getting him to talk, though. Because he was a minor leaguer, so I thought, like, oh, like I want this. I
no.
Yeah. But no, he was locked
but
in.
Then I kind of realized that he is just locked in.
Yeah.
And he is just doing his job.
He's at work.
He's doing his job. He's just like, yeah, like all right, I'm putting this position right now. I'm this young guy, and I'm putting this position. I'm going to make the best of it, and I don't give a fuck about everyone else.
Yeah,
says.
Roles reversed. Imagine you had your AirPods in at work, and somebody's just yelling at you. Yo, Damon.
Yeah.
Yo,
for Damon. No, for no reason.
Yo, Damon.
Yeah. Just to get my
What's
attention.
For their own Damon? Selfish reasons.
Yeah.
What's up, Damon?
And you're
going to flip him off and say, get out of my face.
Mike.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I pulled out the hump day. He said, Mike.
What day is it?
Guess what day it is. And he just wasn't having it.
He did throw a ball into the stands, and we missed
it.
Yeah, we missed
it. Oh, we almost caught a ball, too. And I've been saying forever to everybody that knows me, the day I catch a home run ball, that's the day I float up into heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me being a baseball...
Sad. It's kind of sad.
...worshipper. But, like, that ball, how close was it, Damon?
It was a lot farther away than we think.
Yeah.
But it was
on the replay.
It was like four rows back.
But it was close enough that we had our half second of fame on TV. And yeah. you can yeah. see the back of our head because the
in
back
that picture
of our
you
heads
posted,
is
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah. You know what's no, crazy, though? And I this was just how I thought it was going to happen with me, with my luck. I looked at that moment. It was a freeze frame.
Yeah.
And I heard the crack of the bat, and everyone started cheering as they do. Like, if it's a fair, it's gone. And it's like yeah. it's like a foul ball like behind the home plate. But it's coming at me, and I'm like, all right, well, I can't find this ball.
It's crazy how slow that went.
I saw it the whole way.
Me too.
Damon
hit
saw it the
one
whole
spot
way.
In the sky. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, and
fuck,
I had
fuck.
It. And I said to Rella,
I was like, where is it?
And it's so weird that we had enough time to talk about this, but we had a full-blown comment.
That was a moon rocket. That's why.
Where is it?
It's
right there.
It was such a high arc. But I would literally said, where is it? And he was like, "Where? It's right there." And I found it the last second. But I thought in that moment, the one ball in my life that's going to get hit to me.
You can't see.
Is going to be hit me. It's going to hit me in the face.
I would have paid good money.
That's just my luck.
I would have bought that ticket off that guy and his girlfriend.
Also my luck is when Fuller got kicked out, I thought the second we left those seats, we said this before too, I thought the ball would actually land in our empty seats and no one would grab
it. Was
gonna, and no one would grab it just because it's just us not getting
it. No, it was going to land in the empty seat, hit the back of our seat, and then bounce back into the stadium.
Yeah.
just our luck.
Yeah, just to rub it in.
That would have been our luck.
But big shout out to these guys because I'm Sir Standing Room. So I like to finagle my way down to seats, as I've previously shared. And I finagled my way down to them, and they had these unreal seats. But when I got the boot, they came riding with me to the gates of hell. And so did Murphy and Kelly, if you're listening. Thank you, guys. Because not sure if I would have done the same for you guys. Those seats were great.
Thanks,
you guys
came, appreciate it.
You guys came right with me, and then we had a great time in standing room, found our other friends from college, and we went to the bleachers and enjoyed it there.
Yeah.
I was giving that Red Sox fan a piece of my mind. Wow.
Well, you always do. But that's just like that's just your thing.
It's a confirmed thing. I'm an asshole fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you catch him at the stadium.
But like, I'm a great guy to talk baseball
with.
He was
with his mother.
He was with his mom.
Yeah, just
but you
mother.
Weren't like being mean. You were like,
no, it was
you were
fun.
Just degrading me, like, are you? Oh, like you really like you enjoy this?
Yeah. Then you're like, oh, you're a real Yankees fan because you bought a Brock Holt jersey.
I know. I said you're a real Sox fan.
Well, that's
kind of
true.
Jersey.
That's kind of true. He's definitely.
I respect
big
it though.
Yeah.
Like if we bought like. A Chad Green jersey, like, we, or a Luis Sessa jersey.
Yeah.
It's like, wow,
that's
you're
the,
paying
that's
attention.
The comp right there. Yeah. Or a Valera jersey, who was the Messiah.
But
apparently.
Yeah, not to give like the wrong impression. Like, I know everybody that actually personally knows me is cringing when I say this, but like, I'm not a dickhead, but if I see a Red Sox fan, I'm always going to start banter. And it's never like, hey, buddy, get out of here, you Sox fan jerk. Yeah. But it's like, imagine being a Red Sox fan this year. Like, wow, I'm so sorry.
I mean,
it's degrading.
I mean, when I went to Fenway, I went with my mom, and someone was fucking yelling at my mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I wouldn't do that. I don't ever like threaten people because, I mean, if you look at me, I'm a whopping 170 pounds. I don't have a mic. Like,
it's your mom, man.
My mouth runs.
Why are you yelling at my mom?
Yeah,
man?
It's not necessary.
Not necessary. But anyway, we were in the bleachers, and then that's when we saw Urshela's like. Completely underrated and fucking ridiculous catch.
Yeah.
That happened. Like, no one was reacting the way I was reacting. And I was, like, trying to hit everybody. I was like, did you guys fucking see that?
You know what else we saw from Gio Urshela?
That was the most ridiculous catch I've ever seen in my entire life.
You know what's
life?
Equally as ridiculous and absurd about Gio Urshela?
His walk-up song.
His walk-up song. Just
it was,
like,
it was like a. That just is so. Him though, he's so innocent.
He's so perfect.
He's so innocent. He's like just... his walk-up song. I don't. You guys probably haven't heard it because we were at every fucking game. But his walk-up song was a Jesus song. It was like.
No,
I don't even know.
You're not doing it justice.
It was a Spanish
Jesus song.
And
yeah,
it's just like.
That's your walk-up song.
I love
that out of him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just he is his mother's favorite kid.
And like, then just like
he could have 15 brothers, and you are the one that you're like nobody touched Gio.
Yeah,
this is my boy.
I mean, he's just one of those
you're
guys.
My boy,
where
Blue.
You have to root for him, like regardless of what team you have. Like, why? What do you have against Gio? We were talking about that too.
Who
like,
could buy? How?
There's
like,
some people in other teams, even the Red Sox, that like I can't hate. Like currently, Devers, he's just so like he's so innocent. Like
they're so
until
cute.
Until he kills me, like. He's really good, but until he really kills me, like, year after year, he's just so, like, innocent, like, I can't hate him. That's
it's
what
like
Gio
Gio
is
not a problem to anybody. He doesn't bother
He's just
anybody.
So cute. He gets the job done.
Yeah.
And I just love watching him play. Like, I can't get over that catch, though. Like,
yeah, no, it was unreal.
Like, that was so difficult.
So that brings us to the ding, ding, ding debate of the night.
Oof.
At 100% with both of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
Gio
yeah.
doesn't foul a ball off his knee and his shin. And Andahar doesn't need TJ.
Well, they're both hurt. So I mean,
who do
fine.
We take to ride with from here on out? You trade one. It's like marry, fuck, kill, but we're just going to play trade, keep.
Yeah.
You trade one, you keep one. I want to hear both of your opinions, and I want to hear your justifications.
So here, I have some stats on this player comp here.
Yeah. You go stats, I'll go just based on soul opinion.
And then I'll go back on soul opinion.
Gotcha. And my gut feeling.
All right. So, there's a little difference here because Gio obviously... hasn't played a full season. So, Gio played 91 games this year, and he's at 316 plate appearances so far. He's got the rest of the season. There's about 50 games left, so it might be around the same. He's on pace to be exactly the same as where Miggy was last year. So, Miggy played 144 games, and he had 606 plate appearances. So, he's exactly where he should be if we were to continue this. Mm-hmm. So, we're basing this off him continuing his current numbers, which is fair to assume, I think.
I mean, he's done it this far.
Yeah. So Gio's batting average is .314 through that time period, and his OBP is .358 with an .871 OPS, and Miggy's, on the other hand, is .297 batting average, .328 OBP, and .855 OPS, which is all lower than Gio. Another stat that I personally enjoy is total bases. So total, that's my personal one.
Look at you.
Underrated stat.
Look
underrated stat because total bases tells you not only slugging because you're getting... It tells you stealing bases. It tells you triples, anything like that. You're scoring. You're just getting. You're doing the job. The job of baseball is to move you guys over. Get them on. Get them in. Get them over. If you're taking total bases, I think that matters a lot. I think that's a stat that's underlooked. Mm-hmm. So total bases, I think. I mean, Miguel Andujar's total bases for the year were 302. So that's at 144 games. Gio's total bases is 149. So that's very much below the pace of Miguel Andujar.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Andujar's total bases is very high. And then, on the other hand, also another thing to go into Gio. Gio has never played in his life more than 81 games in a season until this year. So that's another thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings you to your point. We talked a lot about the age thing. We thought Gio was a lot older than he was. He's not. He's about 20. He just turned 28.
27, 28.
Yeah. And Andujar is 24. So the age gap isn't as big as you think, and that's what you do. That's why you'd say, like, oh, yeah, Andujar easy because he has a higher ceiling, just like Gleyber or something like that. But the age gap's kind of close, and Andujar, I mean, why don't you go into it, Damon? Why don't you go into your reasons why you like?
I mean, I think that it's...
Those are the stats.
They're both small sample sizes. I think that, you know, like you said, Urshela has not played an entire season, and Andujar has
never more than 81 games.
Yeah. And
it's half a season.
Yeah, and Andujar exactly has played a lot, but not enough.
But in one year.
Yeah. Not enough we can be like, this is our third baseman for the next 5 to 6 years. I can't say that about either of them. But, I mean, it's so tough, especially because, like, we don't know how Andujar is going to come back after his injury. We have no idea.
You don't know what kind of player he's going
to
be.
And also, Urshela is proven to be, without a doubt, a better fielder.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. And also, it's like, but also, on the other hand, it's how much, if we are willing to trade, what can we get for Andujar?
Who just got off a trade value. Who makes the team better off? Like, both of these moves, with the guy in the lineup and the haul we get from that trade of that player, how are we after that?
Yeah, I think that I love Andujar to death. I mean, I fucking love that guy. But
I love both of them.
I know, but I'm saying...
He's got a Jesus
for the faith of the team and the betterness of the team, it's... I thought about this just now, top of my head. Maybe I'll regret it later, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, because fuck it. I think that Andujar has a better trade value right now, because he's younger. He's proven to be a good player, and he might come off an injury, but Tommy John, you know, he can still fucking hit, you know, whatever. But Urshela right now, I am pretty confident he will play equally as good next season if he starts the entire season.
My thing, though... is if you're saying his trade value is higher and he's just recently off an injury, do you need Miggy to play a little bit to prove to teams that he...
I don't think it's going to do anything. I don't think it's doing anything.
I think that's worse off for us, but I think for other teams that they want to see him play.
Yeah, but on the other hand, what if he comes back and sucks and that just hurts us even more?
At the same time, though, the trade might happen over the offseason, though.
So that's what I'm hoping
for. They won't even have an option of seeing him play.
I think he either... Either he plays or he gets traded. I mean, it's
So to dive into this, like, my personal opinion, before we really dove into this, I was thinking, like, I personally do like Gio better, but I thought that logic would bring me back down to Andujar. And I don't think that there's a bad point to be made about either of them for why you picked them. Like, I think both of them are justified, but the way I see it is...
Both are pretty young, too, so it's not even, like,
the age gap was less than I thought it was between them. Therefore, I'm taking Gio... Not only for the age gap, but, like, he's in his prime. The confidence I have every time he gets to the plate, his fielding percentage, he's among the top fielding third basemen that we've ever seen.
100%.
And, like, Andujar, who's already not a great third baseman coming off of Tommy John, like, how do we make a bad third baseman coming off of surgery better?
Yeah.
Like, that's just going to be hard. And Andujar was docked doubles. He loved those doubles down the line.
And Miggy two bags.
I know we can say, like, you know, when he did play the season when he, like, we thought he was going to get surgery, and then he was, like, you know, flirting with surgery, but was still playing, and then, like, batted, blew the Mendoza line. I know, like, we can't
he
say.
He was hurt.
I know we can't say that, but it's all, I know. But, like,
just kind of throwing out some more.
Yeah,
more
he played what, there. Four games this year.
Yeah, sorry, right. that for him, right. you know.
So we're talking a lot about the two. So let's why don't we go around and pick who, if you had a gun to your head and you had to choose which one of these two to continue for the year and which one to trade.
I'm taking Gio. He's my ride or die guy.
Yeah.
And I'm trading Ed
what's
Hart.
What's the main reason why? What's the deciding factor for you?
The fielding, the confidence when he's up, and knowing that I think there will be a bigger return for Miggy in the trade market, and we still will have Gio for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
With the upside. Yeah, I think the trade value I think the trade value is like a Glaber-esque sort of thing with the upside, and that'll be more appealing to teams.
I'm saying Gio as well because I think that, you know, he has struggled as not a Yankee, but when he was in Cleveland, he didn't have his spotlight moment yet. He didn't have his spot on a team yet. And then he finally got to the Yankees and kind of earned his spot. Yeah. And it looks like he's comfortable now.
Yeah, that was something I was saying, too, before. Like, Gio never actually had a time. Like I said, he never played more than 81 games in a year.
Yeah.
So he never had a time where, everybody knows that you can't get in a groove if you're not that constant player in the lineup, penciled in every single day, no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen it in Gary. Gary last year had a bad year because he was in and out of the lineup every single day. Like, you're never going to get that production out of him because you can't get in a streak.
Yeah.
Baseball is a streaky game. The Yankees just won, by the way.
We just swept the Red Sox.
So we are actually up to date with you guys now. So now we can talk.
Love that.
Everything you guys know. So what I was saying, though, he can't get in a streak, you know? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, this is the first year. I mean, even this year as well, he hasn't been able to get in a streak either because he's in and out of the lineup, like whatever happens with the infield, the rotations and everything like that.
Yeah. So I'm going with Gio because of that reason, and then also because I think right now that the trade value for Miggy is higher, and I think Gio till I die.
Yeah, I think once he's that everyday player, I think that's the point I was trying to make. Once he's that everyday player, I think his stats right now. I mean, he's there's nothing that made him seem like he was the worst player. He's come in every day. He's still hitting .314, maybe more. I don't even know after today, but. If he's the everyday player, I have that much more confidence.
Yeah.
And he, like I said, he has that feeling of confidence at the plate where he's just that dude. Like, he'll get a hit. And my pick is also Gio. But that's not a slight at Andujar at all.
No, he's a phenomenal player.
Andujar is one of my favorite players. I just think we can get as a baseball. And this also doesn't mean we have to get rid of both. Like, why can't we have both? We can. We easily can have both. But we're saying if there was a crossroads and if there was a trade suitor for one of the two, I think in a perfect world, we could get something big out of Andujar and a good deal for maybe a pitcher or something, a starting pitcher and a young pitcher or something like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think Gio would be a great all-around player because he brings that defense to the side, too.
Yeah, yeah. So we all agreed on that, which I'm surprised about.
Yeah, I know. We usually disagree on most things.
But it's been a year. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go for it.
It's been a year that, one thing I always try to avoid is being that Yankee fan that's just jumped ship so quick. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, this has just been such a year that it's so easy to do that because you have these guys like Gio that come up to a role and they're, that guy all of a sudden. And you don't want to just forget about Andujar. And you don't want to, when Didi was gone and DJ was going so well, we obviously were never we don't need Didi. But it's just so easy. And now with Stanton even, it's well, we don't really need him, but I still love all those guys. But Gio's the only one where I don't feel like we're being okay, you're the fair weather Yankee fan. This guy's here, this guy's now, so you like him. Yeah. I do honestly, after weighing the options, I pick Gio.
Yeah.
But another thing that we're going to have to focus on, because we just swept the Red Sox, which is great, and we're moving into
big
a playoff
PR.
Heap. So who are our guys? What's our rotation for the playoffs, do you think?
We don't have another option. What do you mean?
No,
oh, you're saying with
who's our three
coming back and
who's
oh,
our
you're
three?
Saying the order
because taking into account that Seve will be back for the playoffs. I don't think he'll be a starter, but I think he'll be back. And Montgomery
is the thing.
Supposed to be back. He's not going to start, but you got say CeCe's back. Who are your three?
But my point here, and I think this goes to what we were trying to do at the deadline at the last second at the buzzer. We were trying to get more bullpen arms with the Shane Green. Didn't really work out, but
we'll have Dellin.
Dellin, we're trying to move into that bullpen team. We can try to the league's turning into an opener. We're starting to do more different things. Games changing. I think they were trying to see flirt with maybe this playoffs is something that they try and test it out. See hey, can we bullpen playoff games? And I think with those arms that are coming back, even the Montgomery, that adds a playoff arm. That adds a bullpen arm. Mm-hmm. At the very least, you can throw him out there for an inning if he's good. He used to be pretty good. So, I mean, him, Dellin, even if Sebi's not starting, possibly could be starting.
Yeah.
But if he's not, we at least get something out of him.
And just and I to think jump that on your
we have,
point.
We just have arms. So we have innings is the point I'm making.
Just to jump on your point starters. Is like, that's never, it's, trends in the MLB always hit the Yankees later, I feel like. Because the Yankees are just such a tradition-rooted team.
They're old school.
And, like, you look at the Yankees rotation the last time we went to the playoffs. Like, you got CeCe going at least seven. You got A.J. Burnett going six or seven. Mm-hmm. And you have Andy Pettit going seven. But, like, that's not how the league is now. And that's just not how our rotation is built. So, we're looking at
you have to play to your strengths.
We're looking at
why try, like, today. Today, for example. I said before we should have pulled Hap a little earlier than we did, and we tried to stretch him. So why try and stretch the MLB average or the old average, where people are going seven innings at least in full games? Like, why are we gonna try and stretch and that just to get that stat, that quality start, rather than know for a fact that he's not gonna do well past the sixth?
It
or
makes
fifth.
You feel good when you see it. When you see it, and you see those guys get through six.
I get
like,
it.
You're like, fuck it's yeah. It's a personal thing. It's just, we don't need to do
but at that.
That
point, if the numbers are there and you know that he's not going to do well, then why not pull Hap before that sixth inning, two back-to-back home runs? Like, why not just put in Sessa there? Sessa's been good this year.
So game one of the playoffs, we start who? I think we all agree here.
Domingo.
Really? So apparently we don't.
I don't think it's conclusive. I don't know why you said we all agree here.
I just thought that we'd all say Tanaka.
I think Tanaka does turn it on. Tanaka loves the playoffs.
Tanaka.
Oh, no. We'll cut that out.
I tried it.
We'll figure something out for that.
We'll make a t-shirt throw. That's not going to be it, though.
Just throw it at me.
But
good effort.
I personally would probably take... I mean, it all depends, though. Okay. I was going to say maybe Paxton, but he's not...
No.
I'm saying Paxton of May. Paxton of May before he got hurt was sick. And that's what we traded for. That's the Paxton we traded for. But it's not been that. I mean, last start, he was really lights out. But I mean, we'll see what Tanaka brings. What is he next tomorrow? Probably.
Yeah.
I would pick Tanaka. Because I know his playoff experience.
I go to Tanaka, and then I go to Domingo, and then
we also don't know what we're getting out of Domingo too.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, and like we've been hearing it all year. What if it is time for that opener with? With Paxton.
Do you do that in the playoff? Oh, with Paxton.
Like, you need an opener. He hates the first inning. I think if he's allergic to it.
If there's ever a time to test it out, I think it's against the Orioles in
this
stretch.
Now, yeah. But nobody, we're not going to do it. We don't need to.
Yeah, you're never going to do that.
No.
I mean,
but
it's also a slight at Paxton's. Like, say, dude, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I think you do. This is what I want to see in the playoffs. I want to see Tanaka pitch a game, bullpen come in. I want to see Domingo pitch as long as he can. Bullpen come in, and then I want to see Paxton get me through three strong, Sevy come in, throw three more strong, and then bullpen finish the game. Like, I want Sevy to be in that long relief role,
and I want
it to be sort of a planned thing. Like, you know this guy doesn't have depth, and, like, maybe it's if Hap was a starter in the playoffs. He won't be. I doubt it. But if he was, like, that's the perfect guy to do it with, because Hap is strong at the beginning, unless he gives up those first inning home runs. But Hap is good for two home runs in one inning. You don't know when. Could be the first inning. Could be the sixth inning. But Hap is going to give you that inning where he's going to give up two home runs and melt down. So, like, as soon as you even sniff that. Yeah. As soon as you even sniff that.
Take him out. That's why
put in Sevy. And that's what I want. Oh, I want Sevy there.
Because that also brings
Sevy's a stopper.
I mean, it's also a thing about, like, whether or not. We don't know how Sevy's going to be, whether he even comes back. First of all, like, hope he's looking like he is. But Sevy's got that, regardless of what he's throwing, you know, we're such an analytics game nowadays that. You know what he's throwing to you, and it kind of mind fucks you. Like, it kind of throws you off to begin with. Like, you know you're going to get something crazy. Like, if I'm going against Verlander, I know I have to be ready for that curveball that starts at my eyes and ends at my toes. Like, like that, and that kind of fucks with you, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that with that, just like that confidence that he has and everything like that, everything about him, like the Stroman type confidence. Well, no, fuck that. The Sevy type confidence that Stroman has. It's just something different that you have to game plan for. It's like judging the box. Like, you know you can't throw him a strike. You're going to have to throw him something outside, low and away slider. Like, it's just that feeling, that presence on the mound is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I agree.
And that actually takes me to another reliever we have, which is another point we were trying to make, is how underrated Ottaviano has been this year. Guy didn't make the fucking All-Star team.
I fucking love him.
Guys, he has a 1-3-something ERA around there.
He's playing wiffle ball.
He throws a wiffle ball.
Dude, watching him pitch live the other day from center field and watching that ball actually the best tail angle much see, yeah. as much it does.
It's so stupid.
Holy crap.
It's so stupid.
Like, I've always known his, like, slider is just, like, ridiculous, but seeing it that close and that how much it tails, holy crap.
Yeah, that ball, awesome. I can't. I'm good at throwing a wiffle ball. And
Humble brag.
I'm pretty good, but
the man, brother.
I can't throw a wiffle ball like that. Like, the fact that he didn't make an all-star team is crazy. And I don't know.
It's the stupid. Every team needs.
That's the thing. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. Because you know who made it in his spot? Because when you, when every team needs a rep, that immediately from the get go,
an Oriole needs to make it.
When an Oriole, that's what I was going to get at. Because an Oriole reliever made it.
Yeah.
So every single team from the get go needs a spot. So the teams like the Marlins, the Orioles, the Mariners, teams like that. They it's like you're winning the smartest. You're getting a participation trophy. You're just getting it. You're not a real all-star, and you know that. Like, I wouldn't even want that.
Because if we don't do that, though, if you don't do that, then the AL team is literally going to be the Yankees, Red Sox, Indians, Twins, Athletics.
Yeah, of course.
Best of.
But
because that's all you need, because that's the – oh, and the Rays. But, like, that's the AL. You got it.
Yeah. But I think there's five teams that don't deserve – you don't have an all-star this year. You don't deserve – you're not an all-star. You
don't force it.
And then if you force it, that takes people's spots. Like, Ottavino – well, he should have been one of the first people chosen, but he could have made that spot, and he didn't because some guy, I don't even know his name, he's not even worth me looking up his name, on the Orioles makes the All-Star team. And other two people, like, Voit didn't make it because Vogelbach decided to be on the Mariners this year, and he needed a representative.
It's also just it's a crazy, like, popularity thing because, like, Judge was in the top 10 of outfielders and played less than half the season.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Like,
it's so stupid.
I think it's less about that, though.
I know. Like, I'm just saying it's another factor.
The fans sometimes
factor.
Do well. Like, they put in Polanco this year. Like, that was a good pick. Like, you put in Urshela made a fan vote. Like, that was mainly us, though. We have a good fan base. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that's just another factor that goes in that just, like, what are you guys doing?
I think it should just be, like, the coaches or something. Like, just something like, I don't know. Like the NFL top 100 players, like they vote the top 100. It's a player vote. I think that could be good too.
Yeah.
No one's gonna, and you can't vote for yourself.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
But yeah. I mean, this was a fantastic weekend, and I think that one of the things that we mentioned in the previous episode was the rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees, and I keep saying that, you know, I know we weren't watching the old rivalry that much because of, you know, our age and not being alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, I personally don't think that the intensity is there as it was previously. And I think, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of different, you know, opinions that might go into why that actually is. Some people might disagree. Some people might say that it is more intense now, but I personally don't.
I think it's a multitude of factors. I think it's a lot of it's the fact that this rivalry is just starting. It's resurging right now, and I mean we haven't had the time to hate each other yet. And I just think this is a new group of guys, and they need to start hating each other. It's like, oh, we're in the show now. We all love each other. We're all having a great opportunity. Once you play that person for 10 years in a row, you're going to start to hate him if you meet him in the World Series or the ALCS for a long time, and they do something. The one guy plucks you, and you get in a fight. Something's got to click, and it's the frequency of seeing them. And I think that's why we can never compare the two right now.
Yeah.
I think this is an afterthought. 10 years from now, like, which one was better? But that's the main thing.
I mean, like,
for me,
the only people who fought on the Red Sox Yankees current roster right now is Tyler Austin and fucking Kelly, and they're both gone.
But that was the spark of it, I think. That's the beginning.
And they're both gone.
That's
so
when we,
like,
knew the rivalry was back, though. That was a big turning the page thing.
But now they're both gone, and it's like no one else, like, who's going to fight? Like, Betts and fucking Judge are not going to fucking fight each other.
We were talking about this. They just make so much goddamn money.
But they don't yet. Judge does not make that much money yet.
Yeah, but not, he also not, not has as a an salary. Adidas deal.
Yeah, not as a salary. Yeah.
But, like, and he knows he's about to get paid. They just make so much fucking money.
I just don't see Judge and Betts. Why would you fight Judge? I mean, you're going to get your fucking ass kicked.
Fucking mine.
But
why? No one, what does that matter? Like, you're just saying he's going to get hurt and not be able to play or what?
No, because he's fucking 6'8".
Oh, no. Yeah, that, I mean, Judge versus Mookie. Obviously. No, I'm not and talking like, about that. But, like, no, what does the I'm money have to do like, with anything like that?
Oh, because, like, you're making so much money. Why do you, like, why would you get upset?
Because it's past that. They made too much money to care about the money anymore. Like, the money's there. They're financially
But
sound.
I'm saying, like, they're all, like, superstars, and there's these big guys with, like, living great lives, and, like,
yeah, but
they all like each other.
That.
They're not going to...
I mean,
does,
before,
though,
they were making a lot of money, too. They were making a lot of money before, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The game
and A-Rod was still
you.
Fighting, and I get it, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, now these guys, it's like... Baseball's coming back in a big way, and all these young guys are put at the spotlight of it, and they're all just, like, these personalities, like... Aaron Judge is not that dickhead personality, and he gets paid to not be that dickhead personality.
Yeah, but
and, like, he gets fired up, yeah. But, like, they don't have that, yeah, we're playing the Red Sox this weekend, fuck these guys kind of thing. It's like, we're playing the Red Sox this weekend. We're the New York Yankees, so we're going to go in there and beat them.
You know what I could see happen? I could see Brian Brazier fighting somebody
on
the fucking Red
Sox.
Like,
Ryan Brazier?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what his first name is.
What else does he have to fucking do?
Why? Because his crooked neck? Like,
crooked he man. Seems like that kind
if
of
if he fights somebody
douchebag.
On the Yankees are going to make his neck the other way crooked. Like, Judge is going to kick him so hard that he just bends backwards like an owl.
When I think of the roster, I don't see... Urshela and Devers getting into a fight. I don't see Judge and Betts getting into a fight.
You don't have to fight position by position. When you're going
I'm just making
that
it easier
way.
For people to understand. I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
I don't know. I think once that guy is beating you time after time, you get pissed. Like at first, right now, you can't see it because it's early on. That's why I keep saying. Like, but if that guy's like killing you and one little thing bothers you, like... All it takes is one guy, like a hothead. Like,
I would love LeMahieu to just go off.
I mean,
LeMahieu's
just
a silent killer.
He's never going to get in a fight.
The silent killer.
No, what would LeMahieu do?
I don't know, but that's the sort of thing.
He'd probably like go around giving people like demerits.
But no one knows what he does. He's so silent. He's a silent killer.
He actually is.
He could just like, turn it on one day, and we'd have no idea.
What do you think that he's like in the locker room? Like, hello, DJ.
Sup,
hello,
man?
Guys.
No, I think he's just like, yo, he's probably just the chillest guy ever.
Yeah.
He just likes hitting baseballs, and that's why he's on a team.
Like, who else are you going to fight on the Red Sox? Like, are you going to fight David Price? That guy is...
No, I mean, they have fightable
actually,
people.
He's
we
actually,
don't.
No, he's actually built to be in a fight because he wears a fucking mouth guard. Like, that thing looks like he's chewing on a...
No, but they have fightable people,
that
don't.
Thing looks like he's chewing on a Liv Strong
maybe
bracelet.
We're biased because, like, we're not fans of that.
I would
like,
see, like, Gardner fighting. I would see...
Yeah, like, Stanton fighting.
Well, he's also a carryover, though, from the old rivalry.
Yeah.
Like, I could see DD getting fired up enough to fight, but, like, he's never going to go out there and look for it.
He's a knight.
Like, Mike Ford would get in a fight.
Mike
Ford. Like, Luke Voigt. Luke Voigt would go up swinging.
Mike Ford's not a fucking...
Yeah.
Encarnacion would go up there swinging.
I would see Benintendi get into a fight.
Gary would fight. Benintendi's a little prick.
Hicks would fight.
Yeah.
Hicks, 100% Hicks would fight.
Hicks would kick ass.
Yeah.
Talk
with my
fight.
Yeah, they're all...
No, we got fighters.
We need Brazier to throw... Yeah. We need Brazier to throw high and inside to Hicks to get to see some spark.
Yeah. And he needs to pimp the next walk like he always does.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be the end of it.
That's another thing is that like we talk about how like Hicks pimps his hits.
Everything.
But like
he pimps a
he
walk.
Pimps it. I say this all the time. He pimps it to himself. He doesn't pimp it for the crowd.
And that's why we know now that our question before to prelude this was Hicks pimps everything. We see it every day. But we see another team who pimp one home run or they stare at it too long, whatever the fuck it may be, and they get thrown out the very next pitch. Hicks never gets thrown at. And we were wondering why. Like, why is that? And Damon thought, what?
Well, because he's not doing it to show off to the pitcher. He's just doing it to just, like, fire himself and his teammates up. And I don't think he's pimping the home run to be, like, fuck you to the pitcher. I think he's just doing it just because, like, that's just who he is. Like, he doesn't stare at the pitcher. He just flips his bat and just puts his head down. Like, it's just, like, so much...
That could be it.
It's just so much swag to himself that he just, like... It's just, like, a feel-good thing for himself.
But
he just, like, puts his head down and just starts running.
But at the same time, like... How do you know that as the pitcher? Like, how do you know that that's just Hicks? We know that because we're watching him every single day. Like, but the pitchers usually don't.
I mean, they can interpret
it
any way they want.
That too
but
much.
He's not staring at the pitcher, like trying to provoke something.
I know, I get that. And he's not doing like what Dietrich does. Or he Dietrich will literally sit there in the box and like, not move and chew his gum.
He's a hittable guy.
That guy's a beast.
I would have him fighting for me.
I fucking love him.
I love when they, I love when they just fucking do curls in the locker room. They always wear no sleeves for no reason. And
he's Doc Ock.
Well, Puig's not there anymore. But all right, let's get into something else. Let's get into like what about the Rays? We talk a lot about the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean,
we haven't even talked about the Rays, and the Rays are how many games back?
I think, yeah.
I think it was like eight.
We just now defeated the Red Sox. They're not going to win the division this year. And the Rays are not out. Like, we need to start talking about the Rays.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the Rays and the Red Sox now is, like, they're kind of done playing us. And, like, the Rays have, I want to say, two games left against us.
Yeah, the head-to-head's a big thing.
And we, like, now have pretty much just solidified that we've won the season series with the Rays, and we've won the season series with flying colors against the Red Sox. I mean, I think we have like two or three more games against them, if that.
I think in September we play. Well, yeah, no,
I wrote down the AL East record we have against the other teams in the AL East. Against the O's, we're 10-2. Against the Red Sox, we're now 11-4 because we won tonight. Against the Rays, we're 12-5, and against the Blue Jays, who are like the O's from last year. Last year, we could not beat the O's, and the Blue Jays are the thorn in our side. But we have a lot more games against them too. But we're 6-3 against them, which is still a winning record. Overall, we're 38-14.
Yeah, we're gonna win this division.
I mean, that's
like, it's almost.
That's how you win. That's my question: is the division lead safe now?
Rel, did you,
I think it is, but like we're obviously gonna have to keep playing baseball.
Yeah, but Rel, did you write down how many head-to-heads we have left with them?
With who?
The Rays and the Red Sox.
The Rays is two.
Very little.
The Rays is two.
Very
Red Sox little. Is like three or four.
Three or four, yeah.
It's probably another series each.
So, like, that's who we have to worry about. So, like, the Rays are kind of fucked. Like, the Rays needed the Red Sox to do something.
I mean, the Red Sox,
if they wanted the division, but at the same time, the Rays want the wild card. So
yeah.
The Rays, it was almost a win-win for them this series, and it went very lopsided in one direction. And I think that we're good. We're good with this division. And I think we hope that the Rays win now. Like, we got to.
Well, that was
it's
my
no
question,
longer
yeah.
like we just hate the Red Sox so much that it's so hard to ever be like, yeah, let's go Sox. Well, we'll never say that.
No, I don't want to. But, I don't want to see them in the playoffs. If they win the wild card,
I'd rather
they could still. They kicked our ass last series.
I'm so much more scared of the Red Sox than I ever will be of the Rays.
I mean, the Red Sox had an opportunity. I wrote down
the door closed.
The last they had for a 14 game stretch that was against the Yankees for four. Then it was against the Rays for four, and then it was against us for another four. And in that stretch, they won three games.
Yeah, like
they
recently,
won the three against us. They got swept by the Rays, and they got swept by us just now.
The analogy that I put to it in the recent years is that with the Red Sox, they're like our twin that we just hate and we like to bicker with, and the Red Sox are like our little brother. I mean, the Rays are like our little brother. Like I'm not worried about
the Rays.
I'll fucking spit on the Rays.
Say they were. Oh, we're
but
here
they
too.
Here, listen to this though, because you know, with regards to the AL wild card. You know, it's pretty tight. I mean, we got Cleveland and the Rays. Like, Cleveland is currently the number one wild card.
And they're in a heated division.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be them or the
Cleveland's
Twins.
A little better than we think. We were all discounting them, and Leto was always saying, like, oh, like what? It's the Indians and the Athletics in the league that we're fine. Like, now he said the season is canceled.
The Rays are two games back from Cleveland in the wild card, and then it's Oakland. And then it's the Red Sox.
Who's in the two? Who are the two spots right now?
It's Cleveland and the Rays.
So they're not. And oh, two Oakland's two
like
games
a half game
top,
back. Right?
And Oakland's a half game.
Yeah.
And then it's Red Sox, Rangers, Angels.
So they're.
I love not being in that conversation.
I want the Angels to come up and just take
well, we
it.
Yeah. We haven't won. We haven't won since 2012. The division.
This is so refreshing.
It's so refreshing.
Like, oh my god, I love talking about going
for
the AL East.
I don't
want
to go on such a tangent, but did you guys see the fucking Pedro Martinez say
they were sick?
They were sick with swine flu during the 2009 World Series.
Why are you bringing that back up 10 years ago?
Grow the fuck up,
10 years ago, you're going to bring that back up right now?
That was a decade ago.
He's just so upset.
Fuck off.
That's the definition of salt Disney.
Fuck off.
He's so pissed about that.
Get the hell out of here, Pedro.
To this day.
Just stop.
But yeah, I think it's just so nice to not be regarded in this goddamn wild card race. Like, we went to the wild card game last year, and that was the most fun I've ever had at a baseball game, and boy, did I love it. But I don't want to fucking go again.
No.
I want to go to game one of the ALDS. I'm fucking sick of these wild cards.
I get so stressed out watching these wild cards.
I shit my pants. I sit with a full diaper all game, and I'm just like, fuck, please.
I mean, every pitch matters.
It just comes through crashing burn.
The whole season is packed into every single pitch. Like, you could lose the game on one pitch. The whole 162 game season, sometimes 163 for the Brewers and them, but it's all packed in one. It's nerve-wracking.
So we're not going to be there this year.
So going forward, goes right. So going forward into this playoffs, this recent stretch and from here on out, the starting pitching, they're almost auditioning.
They are.
They're auditioning to see who's the ace of the staff. We're going to see. Like we were saying before, who we'd pick. I'd pick Tanaka right now, but they're literally auditioning who's the starting pitcher, who's the starter of the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm just going with Domingo just because if he's on, then he's
the best.
On.
Yeah, but you don't know what you're getting out of the playoffs.
That's the only reason I say that because I think a good Domingo in a game and with his fire, I would take him every day on a good day. But I do agree that Tanaka is a safer bet because he is more consistent.
Yeah, you've seen it too.
And he's more consistent. And I've seen it. But Domingo, the way he's been pitching and the way that he is just sometimes just lights out, I don't know.
Yeah. But I think the ace is kind of diluted at this point. I think, like we were saying before, for us specifically, what we were saying before.
No, I said we don't have one.
Oh, no, yeah, since we don't have one, I don't think the ace is really a necessary thing. Like, I think with the bullpen thing and the extra arms, like I said, the main thing for me is innings. We need to get innings out of these guys. And if we have extra arms that can do that long relief, like the Montgomerys and the Severinos, do we really need a starter to go seven?
And not having
seven?
That wild card game means, I don't really give a fuck who they are.
Exactly.
It's just, and we still fucking win games.
And we still got these guys like Sessa, who has a 3.91 ERA this year, dating before this game. Like, all those guys like that, and Nestor Cortez, and guys who can have the long... We have a lot of long relief guys, God willing, right now that we have with Chad Green, too. All these guys, along with the Severino and Montgomery coming back and Betances, we have so many innings out of this team. And I think as I got thinking over this trade deadline nonsense and not getting a starting pitcher, I've very much come to terms with we don't really need a starting pitcher, and I'm very okay with doing the short innings on a spread out over a bunch of arms because we have a lot of good arms
for sure. Yeah.
We don't need to stretch it. We don't have to be, it can be unconventional. And if it's unconventional and it works, then it becomes the new conventional thing. We put the whole league on notice and we say, you could do this too.
Yeah, for sure. So I think as we start to wrap this up, we got this week we have 3 games versus the Orioles. And then we got 3 games against the Blue Jays. And that will take us to our next episode. And next episode is a special one because we'll introduce to you the rest of the gang.
Yeah,
and I think I won't be there, but Fuller and Rel, if you want to chime in and tell them what that's going to be about,
we're going to the Dirty H, good old Hamden, Connecticut, to celebrate your boy turning 21. So the whole gang's going to be there, and we're going to let the other 4 dummies hop on the podcast and show you what they're made of, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Get to hear from other idiots that aren't us, and but
what else are we going to do with the? With the debate, the new format.
We're thinking about mixing in since we're gonna have so many people locked in.
Yeah. So I don't know if everyone's seen the "Don't Make Me Laugh" videos on YouTube, but apparently there's just a couple people who tell really corny videos and they try to make the other person laugh, and that has nothing to do with what I'm saying right now. But the premise is that it's 4 people, 2 teams of 2, and they gotta tag each other in. So when someone runs out of jokes, they tag their teammate in, and then the next person comes in with more points to say. So we're thinking of doing something along the lines of that, where we have 3 teams of 2. So there's 6 people. We don't really call it teams. We call it groups. So it's 3 groups of 2, so we're not competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
we are.
You can tag in and out, and we have no idea how it's going to work.
Yeah, we're going to play around with it.
But it might be really disorganized. It's a little tough to talk with 3 people on the mics, give everybody the time to talk. So, I mean, it could go well, could go really, really, really wrong.
Yeah.
To which we'll still post it because unfiltered on this podcast. But
yeah, we'll
have a lot of different opinions because we'll have about, 12 people that are going to go in and out, whether it be all of our whole team and then other friends that are going to be the audience. It's gonna be fun. Could go really well. Could go really bad.
Yep.
Stay tuned.
So, we'll check back in with you next week after hopefully 3-2 great series against these rookie teams, these college ball teams that we get to just go piss on.
Hopefully all things go well.
Hopefully we get our reinforcements back soon. And thank you guys for listening. We're actually all awake for the end of this one, which is a pleasant surprise. And hopefully more of the same going forward. So thank you guys.
Let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yanks. La 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 la. Yeah, I'm better at a 1-0. La 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 la. Now we at the same house party. La 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 la. If you wanna waste time, baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey baby, waste your time with me in California. Oh shit, you born in the Hamptons, I heard that's expensive. Damn, and you famous on Insta, your pics is a blessing. I think you could be a centerfold. No need for the money though. Hey baby, waste your time with me in California.